If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The verdict is in. Sean Combs has been sentenced to 4 years and 2 months in federal prison. Let's be clear, this was not some poetic moment of redemption. This was not a great man humbled into authenticity. This was a serial manipulator finally standing before a judge who refused to be played. Thank God. Today wasn't about mercy or a changed man. It was about the end of a long con that used philanthropy, addiction stories, and slick PR to hide the violence behind the music. PR that was even in place in court today as pre-produced videos played, showing the ultimate narcissism of a man who also had bookings scheduled for later next week, so confident that he was going to be released today. That is the narcissistic monster that gets to spend the next 4 years behind bars. The courtroom in Manhattan was suffocating under the weight of the contradictions. You had a man who built himself up as the embodiment of hustle and inspiration, a mogul who convinced millions he was the American dream, standing there stripped of his branding, trying one last time to reframe his downfall as a comeback story. And you had the survivors, Cassie Ventura, Jane, and the others who, despite intimidation and power imbalances, showed up and told the truth. The judge didn't just acknowledge them, he centered them. "We heard you," he said. "I am proud of you for coming to the court to tell the world what really happened." That's not courtroom boilerplate either. That's a direct rebuke to decades of silence around powerful men who treat people like collateral damage. Combs' team rolled out every tactic in the celebrity defense playbook today. Oh my God. Trauma narratives. His father's murdered when he was 3, growing up without a dad, addiction narratives, painkillers after surgery, self-medicating, flatlining, redemption narratives, charter schools, donations, free game day with their free game with Diddy, classes in jail. He's a wonderful changed man. Never mind that there's this video of him stomping on Cassie's head at the Intercontinental Hotel just a handful of years ago. And all the hundreds of allegations that continue to pour in, and all of the civil suits that continue to pour in, and some are some bullshit? Yeah, I'm sure they are. But I'm sorry, there's more than smoke here. There's fire, there's an inferno. and it's still blazing. And just because this little part over here was put out doesn't mean the cornucopia over here is going away anytime soon. To add to the theatrics today, they even played an 11-minute highlight reel. Yes? A highlight reel of just how good Diddy is. A glossy, high-production video of Combs hugging his children, running marathons, handing out scholarships, wearing a shirt that declared, "I am the American Dream," all of it carefully curated to shift the focus from his conduct to his image. What a raging narcissist. If you want to see a narcissist in action at one of the most pivotal points in their life under the microscope of so many and on a stage so large and being that completely and utterly unaware of just what a narcissist you're being as you are being sentenced for being this monster to these people, then take a look at what happened today. Holy crap. He thought he was going to go in, talk about how great he is, and that alone, along with some theatrics and a video and all that, was going to actually get him to walk out of court that day. So arrogant that he had speaking engagements booked for next week, motivation speeches. Because God knows, if you need some good motivation in your life and you want to learn how to pick yourself up when you're down, it's go to Sean Combs a week after he's released. Yeah. Redemption stories take time. Redemption stories take authentic work to achieve. They don't happen just because you leave the confines of bars and then suddenly you are some sort of redemption story. The scars are there. The people are fearful of your existence in the general public. Clearly, the 11-minute video didn't work. And then Combs spoke, a performance he clearly believed would clinch his narrative. And if you want to get an idea of what this probably sounded like, well, we have it on our channel on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. It's an AI version of Diddy reading his letter to the judge. And essentially, his speech today was another version of that. Here's some of the quotes from today in court. "My actions were disgusting, shameful, sick," he said. "I was sick." He apologized to his mother. He apologized to his children. He apologized to the black community. He said he hated himself. He said he had changed. He begged for mercy. It was textbook narcissistic spin, centering his pain, casting himself as the tragic figure whose fall from grace should inspire pity rather than accountability. Not once did he take apart the mechanics of his violence. Not once did he grapple with how much power and planning went into the freak-offs and hotel nights. It wasn't a man waking up from a fog. This was a man caught rebranding his disgrace as personal growth and hoping the court would bite. Judge Simaranian didn't. He said Combs' psychological claims and road to rehab narrative were outweighed by the mountain of evidence against him. He flat out rejected the rock and roll lifestyle defense. "You had the power and the resources to keep doing it, and because you weren't caught, you paid for and organized these acts. You were no John. You were responsible for that, even if your currency was sexual desires and not money." He noted that while addiction may have exacerbated Combs' behavior, it certainly did not excuse it. And he made it clear this would be hard time, not country club time. "This is hard time in prison," he told Combs, "away from your family, friends, and community. But you'll have a life afterward." Or will he? He said the government's 135-month recommendation was excessive, but the defense's 14-month plea was insufficient. And it went as planned. He weighed mitigating factors, but also aggravating ones like Combs' assault on Jane last year while already under federal investigation. He concluded a lengthy sentence was needed for deterrence. He said he was unconvinced these crimes wouldn't happen again if Combs were released now. In other words, Your changed man routine isn't fooling anyone, Dippity. The contrast inside the courtroom was stark. On one side, Combs' children sobbing, begging the judge to send their father home. Trust me, the best thing for you in your life is to have him as far away from you as you possibly can. D'Elia saying, we are tired of being strong. We are already lost so much. But imagine what you're going to find away from that madness. They don't know. This is all they've known. So yeah, it's traumatic as hell for them. And I hope they get the right help they need to ground themselves in reality so they don't become future ditties. On the other side, a record of abuse so massive, the judge literally called it massive from the bench. The hotel nights, the freak-offs, the coercion, the manipulation, the threats, blackmail. You could almost feel the two realities colliding. One was authentic pain, his children's pain. The other was a performance designed to use that pain as a shield against accountability. Assistant U.S. Attorney Christy Slavik refused to let that shield stand. She called Combs a master puppeteer of his own image and contrasted the slick defense video with the raw surveillance footage of Cassie's beating. She read from Cassie's letter about flashbacks and nightmares, real, horrific, and devastating, and deserving of justice. She reminded the court of Jane's testimony, choked, punched, forced, long after Combs knew the feds were watching. This wasn't addiction spiraling. This was entitlement operating with impunity from a master manipulator narcissist. Submarinian's remarks were a masterclass in cutting through celebrity fog. A history of good works can't wash away the records of this case, he said. He acknowledged addiction and trauma, but placed responsibility where it belonged, on the man who had power, money, and a choice, and used all three to harm. He rejected the defense's attempts to frame Combs as a victim of his own excess. You were no John, he said. You were responsible. And so the sentence came down, 4 years and 2 months, with time served about 3 more years of actual prison time. Hard time. Not a stage. Not a redemption tour. Not a speaking engagement. Outside, some supporters still clung to the myth. They talked about grace, about second chances. But inside, the mask fell. This was not a man being unfairly punished for a celebrity lifestyle. This is a man who for years used his wealth and fame to exploit, control, and terrorize, and then tried to sell the court on the idea that he was changed. The judge called the bluff. The survivor's courage cut through the noise. And for the last few years, Sean Combs will live without the empire he built to shield himself. The sentence won't erase the trauma. It won't give back the night's Cassie, and the others can't forget. But it does something Combs tried desperately to avoid. It shifts the focus off his carefully staged I've changed narrative back onto accountability. For once, the performance didn't work. For once, the court, not the brand, got the last word. Because here's a real takeaway. Redemption isn't a speech. It isn't an 11-minute highlight reel. It isn't your children crying in court. It isn't addiction confessions or charity projects. It's what you do when no one's watching. And Sean Combs, as the evidence showed, did the worst when he thought the cameras were off. Today's sentence is not about erasing his contributions to music or culture. It's about drawing a hard line between achievement and accountability. It's about telling survivors their stories matter more than a mogul's image management. And it's about warning every powerful person who thinks philanthropy can buy impunity. The era of narcissistic redemption arc might finally be over. No, people have horrible memories. This will continue. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if it wasn't such an infection in our society the way it already is? Sean Diddy Combs will serve his time. His empire will remain shattered, and he will have nothing but silence in which to prove, if he can, that this wasn't just another performance. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube if that's where you're watching us. And be sure to press subscribe. So you don't miss any of our coverage of this case and the many we're covering for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. We'll have a full discussion of this on Monday morning on Hidden Killers Live. That'll be starting at 10 a.m. Central right here on the Hidden Killers YouTube channel. And of course, we'll be posting that as audio on the podcast platform after the live broadcast. So be sure to join us if you'd like to weigh in on that. Let us know your thoughts in the comments here over the weekend while you're watching that, and we'll bring those into the conversation on Monday as well. So please do let me know your thoughts. Very, very interested to hear them. Can he be redeemed? I'm really curious what's going to happen in the next 3 years. That's my question. Is he going to continue to step up in prison? I think he will. And I don't know that it's to help others more than it is to help himself and feel like the big man, feel like he's still the star, because I don't think he can live in a world where he's not the star. And at the end of the day, if that helps some other people in a positive way, that is certainly a good thing. I can't deny that. If somebody is mentored by him and they're not turned into a Diddy monster, but they take the positives of his life, which hopefully he can convey, because there certainly has been many, and use that for good, good. Maybe that's the story at the end of all this. Others that may be able to be changed. Because at the end of the day, it's another song and dance, and it's another narcissistic performance for Diddy. I think whether he knows it or not. Again, curious for your thoughts. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.